Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we will talk with Florida A&M football offensive line coordinator Ryan Stanchek. We will talk Archie Miller, IU women's basketball in the NCAA tournament, the NCAA men's basketball tournament going on in the state of Indiana, the Indiana Pacers, Indiana diver Taryn Gilliland wins a NCAA diving championship. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So, let's talk sports. We'll start with IU men's basketball, dismissing head coach Archie Miller. 67-58 in 4 seasons. IU was 12-15 this season, lost to Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament. 3 winning seasons. This is his first losing season in 10 years as a head coach. Had 1 NIT appearance in 2019 when they lost to Wichita State in the quarterfinals. 33-45 in the Big Ten. No better than 6th place. That was his first season in Bloomington. Head coach at Dayton from 2011 to 2017. 139-63 overall. 68-34 in the Atlantic 10 Conference. 4 NCAA appearances from 2013 to 2017. 2012 NIT appearance. Overall, 206-121 in 10 seasons, 9 winning seasons, as I mentioned, 4 NCAA appearances and 2 NIT appearances, but no NCAA appearances while the head coach in Bloomington, and there were chants during the Rutgers game of Fire Archie. So the bottom line is, if you don't win in the Big Ten and you don't get to the NCAA tournament here at IU, you're not going to last very long, and after 4 years, it was time for a change. Speculation of who the new coach will be is running rampant. A lot of names have been thrown around. Of course, when IU does name someone, we will bring it to you. IU women's basketball is the 4th seed in the NCAA tournament. The tournament is being played in San Antonio, Texas. The Hoosiers are in the Mercado region, which is one of the San Antonio landmarks that the regions are being named after. The others are the Riverwalk, the Hemisphere, and Alamo regions. 7th NCAA appearance for IU, 1983, 1994, 1995, 2002, 2016, and 2019. The 4th seed is the highest seed in program history. Previous was the number 6 seed, 1983, when the field was to 36 teams. The 8th seed in 2002 in the current 64-team format. First time that the Hoosiers have been in back-to-back tournament appearances since 1994 and 1995. The Hoosiers play 13th seed VCU this afternoon, and the Hoosiers route VCU 63-32. The Hoosiers were led by Grace Berger with 20 points, Allie Patberg 17, Mackenzie Holmes 14, Alexa Gulbe 7 points, 10 rebounds, Nicole Condragno-Hillary with 5. All 95 points in the game were scored by the starters. Neither team got anything off their bench. VCU, co-leading scorers Chloe Bloom and Sam Robinson with 8 points apiece. The Hoosiers led 22-17 at half and then use a 41-15 run in the second half to put it away. IU is 19-5, will face the winner of Belmont Gonzaga on Wednesday with a time and network to be determined later tonight. The Hoosiers are 4-6 all-time in the NCAA tournament. Terry Morin is 3-2 all-time, with her wins coming in 2016 against Georgia in South Bend and 2019 against Texas in Eugene, Oregon, before falling to Notre Dame in 2016 and Oregon in 2019. The Hoosiers are looking for their first Sweet 16 appearance. VCU ends the year at 16-11, while the Hoosiers improve to 19-5. The NCAA men's tournament has all 68 teams in the state of Indiana. 6 venues around the state, including Simon Scott Assembly Hall, Mackey Arena, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, the Indiana Farmers Coliseum, and Lucas Oil Stadium. All but one game of the tournament has been played so far. VCU in Oregon was declared a no contest because of positive tests within the VCU program. So Oregon advances to the second round. Other games, 6 games took place at Simon Scott Assembly Hall from Thursday to Saturday. Thursday night, Texas Southern beat Mount St. Mary 60-52. Norfolk State beat Appalachian State 54-53. Those were both 16 seed play-in games in the first four. On Friday, 6 seed Texas Tech beat 11 seed Utah State 65-53 in the South region. In the Midwest region, 2nd seed Houston with former IU coach Calvin Sampson beat 15th seed Cleveland State 87-56. And then on Saturday in the East region, 8th seed LSU beat St. Bonaventure 76-61. And then in the West region, the upset 13th seed Ohio beat 4th seed and defending national champion Virginia 62-58. There were plenty of upsets over the weekend, including top seed Illinois going down to Loyola Chicago 71-58. And there are no doubt that this week there will be more upsets to come, with the second round finishing up this evening and then the Sweet 16 next Saturday and Sunday, and the Elite 8 on Monday and Tuesday. The Indiana Pacers are 19-22, second in the Central Division. They lost at Denver 121-106, lost at home to Brooklyn 124-115, won twice at Miami 137-110, and 109-106. The Pacers are at Milwaukee tonight, Wednesday at Detroit, and Friday at Dallas. IU freshman diver Taryn Gilliland wins the 2021 NCAA Championship in platform diving in Greensboro, North Carolina, with a score of 338.40. She is the third Hoosier to win the event, Cassandra Cardinale in 2005, Jessica Parado in 2015, and she extends Indiana's Big Ten record with an individual title in 7 straight NCAA championship. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving Company local high school scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. The boys basketball state finals are set for Saturday, April 3rd at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. In Class 1A, it will be Couts versus Bar Reeve at 10 a.m. Couts beat Southwood 86-70 at Lafayette Jeff, and Bar Reeve dismantled Indianapolis Tinley 72-25 at Washington. In Class 2A, Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian will face Park Heritage at 1:30. Blackhawk Christian beat Blackford 88-61. Blackford's Luke Brown became the 5th player in Indiana High School boys basketball history to go over 3,000 points. The Stetson commit ends his career with 3,011 points, which is 4th all-time. Park Heritage beat Southridge 40-36. At Washington, Park Heritage is the consolidation of Rockville and Turkey Run. They've only been around for a couple years, so congratulations to the Wolves on making a state championship game in just their few years of existence. Class 3A, Leo will face Silver Creek. Leo beat South Bend St. Joseph 61-59 in Elkhart. The Lions won their first regional last week and first semi-state this week to make it to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Silver Creek is back in the state championship game when they won it all in 2019. And of course, no state championships last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Silver Creek beat Gearing Catholic in the Seymour semi-state 54-46. In Class 4A, Carmel will face Lawrence North at 8:30. Carmel beat Gary Westside 53-50 in overtime, and Lawrence North fought off Bloomington South 54-52 at Seymour. The South Panthers end the year 25-5 and have an 18-game winning streak snapped. The Panthers had several chances at the end of the game to send the game into overtime, but missed opportunities send Lawrence North to the state finals. That is a look at our high school scoreboard brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we will talk to Florida A&M football offensive line coordinator Ryan Stanchek. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jengison on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jengison on the South Central Indiana News Network. Time to welcome in my guest. He is the offensive line coordinator at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Ryan Stanchek. Great to have you. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be here. Thanks for your time and thanks for bringing me on. This is awesome.
Congratulations. You've been at Florida A&M for 3 weeks. How are things going? I know spring practice has started. I know you're ready to hit the ground running down there.
Well, we kind of had to, right? So we got right here, and it's been a very quick transition. It's been awesome. You know, I worked with Coach Simmons before at Alcorn State back in 2014, and we were lucky enough. We led the nation in offense, and, you know, that's kind of our goal again. They have a great tradition down here, and, you know, Jess and myself and the kids, we're excited to just be a part of the Florida A&M football family and get to work.
And it's your second time in Tallahassee because you were a graduate assistant at Florida State for a few years. So back to familiar territory for you.
Absolutely. You know, if you have to work in Florida, it's not the end of the world, right? So Tallahassee is a beautiful area, and you know, we're excited to, it's kind of our first time going back somewhere where you know a little bit of the city and, you know, hey, we like that restaurant or we like this place or that place. So that, from that aspect, it's been really cool to kind of be somewhere where you were, you know, were before. So, but yeah, we're really fired up to be here.
Now, you're from the Midwest originally, from Ohio. You were a grad assistant here at Indiana for 2.5 years before you took a job down at Alcorn State. Do you miss the weather at all? Do you miss the Midwest?
You know, I love Ohio weather and Indiana, you know, the seasons, you know, I really do. But I, you know, I've been in Mississippi or Florida for 7 years now. Definitely been a transition, and I'm a sissy now when I go back and visit my parents in Cincinnati. You know, I'm cold and I got to wear a sweatshirt. And when I used to be playing, we never wore long sleeves or anything, you know. So from that aspect, I definitely miss the seasons. But we get back during the holidays and we still get a little bit of that, but, you know, definitely do miss the weather and just enjoyed our time in Indiana. It was phenomenal.
That's how you and I are connected, because your wife, Jessica, and I worked together while you guys were here at Bloomington. What do you remember most about your time here?
Just the family atmosphere. I think we had some really tremendous people, you know, in the athletic program, and a lot of those guys have dispersed all over the country, and, you know, some of them are back. You know, one of my mentors, Dylan McCullough, I know he's back on staff, and I think that was a tremendous addition. And, you know, just coaches like him, that's what I remember. Just the relationships I've built that have helped me along the way. The awesome atmosphere, going to basketball games, you know, that was neat. The atmosphere of Bloomington in general, just a really cool place where I would have really liked to go to school myself. You know, on the back end, you're looking at it like, wow, this place is special.
You went to West Virginia, and that was obviously a special place growing up in Ohio. I mean, what was your experience like in Morgantown? They have a great tradition and a great fan base out there.
It was a phenomenal experience. You know, we kind of hit it right. The athletic director used to say it was the golden era of Mountaineer, you know, Mountaineer athletics. And, you know, very lucky to play for some championships and play for a Sugar Bowl, a Fiesta Bowl, and, you know, came up one game short for playing for a national title. So, but we had a tremendous run there, and just again, the relationships made there, it was special, unique, and and Coach Rodriguez and Coach Stewart. You know, those guys were tremendous mentors, and just the coaches I met along the way there. Coach Fry, who's still a mentor to me today, who was at Indiana as well. A bunch of pros there come through the program and really built that thing up there. So guys like that, you know, I was actually with Coach Fry at West Virginia, and then I GA'd for him at Indiana. I played for him and I GA'd for him. So it's kind of neat.
The one thing that always is important, as you talked about, is relationships. And obviously, relationships are always key in any position. You talked about the fact that the head coach at Florida A&M is someone that you coached with at Alcorn State, and obviously gave you this opportunity to come back to Florida and coach with him.
Yes, yeah, Coach Simmons, you know, I think really high of him, and I think the nation does too. If you follow HBCU football, he's done a tremendous job at Alcorn and Prairie View. I think they would have been national champs here 2 years ago. They should have been. So, but it's kind of, I'm excited to be here, and we're transitioning into the SWAC conference. So that'll be fun, going from the MEAC to the SWAC and going into a conference where I've been before and had success. So very exciting for me to get back to some action there and do our job every day and compete for championships.
You talk about being in the SWAC, Alcorn State. You got to coach there for several years. Obviously, a great tradition. One of the best quarterbacks to ever come out of that school, the late Steve Air McNair. I mean, what will you remember about your time at Alcorn State? I know you guys got to compete in several Celebration Bowls, competing for conference titles year in and year out. Talk about your experience there.
Just the people make the place. You know, I think what we did there was special. When you look at, you know, just budget-wise and facility-wise, maybe, and location-wise, I mean, doing it a place where you might not think it could be done. and there's a lot of coaches that went into that, and those guys are doing a great job of keeping it rolling. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Elliot Ratton. He's an Indiana graduate. You know, I worked with him down there at Alcorn. He's the offense coordinator now. And then Ryan Booz is a running back coach. He's a Hoosier as well. He was in the equipment room. Worked his way up. He's the running back coach down there. So we got some Indiana ties in the SWAC, man. We got to follow it a little bit.
Well, there's one team in the SWAC that besides you guys that I'm going to follow, and it's got to be Jackson State with Deion Sanders coaching Jackson State. Obviously, the SWAC flipped to the spring. You guys aren't playing right now because of all this stuff, but he's definitely going to make that conference more notarized than it already is with the swag and the confidence that he's bringing to that team.
Yeah, I think it's awesome for the conference. It's a conference that gets underlooked at times. I think there's a lot of great football and great football coaches in this conference. I mean, when you look at through major college football now, a lot of these guys, their roots are in the SWAC, you know? So I think that's pretty cool for him to be in the SWAC, and I can't wait to see him in the first game.
Have you met him?
Yes. You know, I did meet him actually when I was at Southern Miss. His son and himself, they were on a recruiting visit. He hit my daughter with a door on accident. It was kind of funny. So Bella, he didn't hurt, you know, but it was kind of hit her with the door. And so that's my Deion experience. So we got to get some revenge, right? I'm just kidding.
That would be one of those games that hopefully would be on national TV.
Hope so. So I, you know, I've seen some of the exposure, you know, on ESPN2 lately, and you know, yeah, we can only hope to keep getting put some good product on the field and go from there. So, but I do think when fans see how exciting and fun with the bands and everything that HBCU brings to the table, you know, I do think hopefully, you know, we'll get some more viewership.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Florida A&M offensive line coordinator Ryan Stanchek after this timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
You're listening to Talkin' Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, Florida A&M offensive line coordinator Ryan Stanchek. Ryan, we were talking about facing Jackson State and your time at Southern Miss. Obviously, last year with the pandemic, it was a unique season to say the least. And then everything that was going on at Southern Miss with three different head coaches, ultimately they went in a different direction and you're now at Florida A&M. I can only imagine that with the pandemic, it was tough as it is. And then all the uncertainty that was following it with the coaching changes had to make it even harder.
Yes, you know, it was definitely a trying season. You know, it was unique. You know, you can definitely say it was unique. We were the first Division I program to ever have three coaches in one season. You know, one of the ESPN commentators told us that. And, you know, I thought that was interesting. And, you know, the one thing I'll always remember from Southern Miss was the bond we had with the coaches. If we weren't close as a coaching staff, that could have gone really negative. I just take my hat off to Coach Scotty Walden, you know, who's now the head coach at Austin Peay. He did a tremendous job. And then Coach Tim Billings came in and did a tremendous job as well. You know, those guys really took the reins, and the assistant coaches, we came to work every day. It's hard coming to work when you know you're not going to be there. You know, in this business, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, once you're kind of tied to the head coach, you know, in Division I college football these days, and that's how it is. So the experience we had, the bonds we built, and, you know, just those guys, that, you know, that's kind of my family there. And you know, they'll always be a part of my family, those O-line guys. And that's my thing, family, F-A-M-O-L-Y, family, you know. So it's kind of my thing with my guys. And, you know, we'll always have that bond.
How's the offensive line looking so far in practice?
It's a work in progress. And, again, we're only six practices in from Saturday. So, you know, just kind of learning these guys, very talented group, excited to work with them. And I think we have the potential to be special, you know, as an offense and as a football team. So we just have to do our job up front, come to work every day and try to get better. You know, that's the biggest thing, is having productive days. And, you know, we need hundreds of productive days, right? We just need to check the box off. Today was one of them. So tomorrow, I hope that's one of them. And then we get back to practice on Wednesday. So, you know, just got to come to work every day, have fun, and make it fun for these guys. But winning's fun too, right? So it's a fine line there. But they're learning me and I'm learning them. And I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm glad things are going well. When you look at coaching the line, what are certain things that you, from your experience, bring to these guys, that you teach these guys day in and day out?
I think the biggest thing I look for is toughness. Tough people win. You know, I learned that from Coach Hobson, and I played for Coach Rick Trickett growing up. And, you know, if they're tough and smart people win. You know, throw that in as well. So I'm looking for tough, smart guys that love football. And, you know, an interesting aspect is during this pandemic, the ability to love football, I think, is a huge ability right now when you're looking for recruits. Because some guys, you know, it's hard when adversity strikes. You know, the guys that do love football, they tend to jump to the front, and the cream always rises to the top. So, but I'm looking for tough guys that like to hit people. You know, if you bite as a puppy, you're going to bite as a big dog. If you don't bite as a puppy, it's hard to get you to bite as a big dog. And I think, you know, some of the guys we had at Indiana, Feeney, Spriggs, you know, those are the guys I'm looking for, right? So that crew.
I know that you still follow Indiana football, obviously, and you still have a lot of connections here. What's your just general take on the job that Tom Allen has done?
I think he's done a tremendous job. You know, obviously, you know, I think you can tell that his players like to play for him, and that's important. I think he has tremendous leadership skills, and just talking to some of the coaches that have worked for him. And that's the biggest thing is the leadership skills he brings and the energy he creates for his players. You can see it, you know, it's very noticeable. So, from that aspect, you know, I've never worked for him, but have worked with people who have, and, you know, they love him. I think that's huge. And, you know, Leo.
Yeah, love each other. That's for sure. You talked about that you got to at least be in training camp with the Falcons, and unfortunately you were the last guy cut. What was that experience like? Is an NFL job ever in your future?
I love the college level because I think you can still help mold the guys. You know, I think that's my calling, but you never know. You never know what the future is going to hold for you, and just try to do the best you can where you're at, be where your feet are, and and see where God puts you next, right? So that's kind of our philosophy as a family, and, you know, that's my take on that. I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question.
I was just talking about that you spent some time with the Falcons, and, you know, you were the last guy cut, and just your experience with that.
That was tough. Yeah. Yeah, that was usually when you get cut late, you know, someone picks you up. And I was lucky in college. I started 48 games in a row. I was two-time All-American, a system guy, West Virginia at left tackle. But I got short arms for that level. So, you know, that's kind of how it works. And, you know, I knew I was going to be a try-hard guy, and it just didn't work out. And that's okay. You know, I think my calling was to coach, and I knew that all along. I mean, my major at West Virginia was athletic coaching education. I didn't take it because it was easy, and it wasn't. You know, I took it because I knew that's what I wanted to do in the future. So, you know, when he closes one door, he opens another. And, you know, we've been blessed to be doing this for 10 years now already, and keep rolling along here.
Is there a favorite place you either like to have played or coached when you were in school? Is there just a place that you just love to go?
You know, that's a tough question. Yeah, I love them all. I think that's a really good question. You find things you like about each place. Obviously, I love home. You know, I'm from Cincinnati. I love it there. But the more I'm in the South, you know, I love the South too, the weather, right? So, and then you get the culture and everything in a place like Indiana. So I think the best place you like is who hires you and who likes you, right?
And I'm sure that the recruiting aspect, with everything being virtual for now, that kids can't take visits and all that stuff, I'm sure that's had to change your plans within this last year of how you recruit and how you present your school and yourself to these kids.
Yes. You know, I go back to my experience more, you know, only being here a few weeks. When I was at Southern Miss, I thought we did a great job of building a virtual tour through Google Maps and that type of deal. And Coach Walden led that effort, and I thought that was impressive. You have to find different wrinkles, you know, for the guys. And I think as a coach, you can really tell who the evaluators are in about 3 or 4 years, when you see if some of these guys were really made it, or if they happen to might be bust. You'll be able to tell who can truly evaluate talent off of film and off, you know. I think that'll be interesting for sure. And you're going to see a lot of steals, guys that are under the radar, even more than normal. There's a lot out there, even right now. You know, there's a lot of guys out there right now. In 2021, it's crazy, but they're out there. You know, you got to put the work in and got to find them.
Well, Ryan, I thank you very much for joining me. Congratulations on your new job. Good luck to the Rattlers, and we'll be following for sure. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
My thanks to Ryan Stanchek for being my guest this week. It's a busy week in IU Athletics. Men's soccer hosts Northwestern tomorrow, 7 p.m. on Big Ten Network Plus. Saturday at Michigan, 2 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. Men's swimming and diving is at the NCAA Championships in Greensboro, North Carolina, Wednesday through Saturday. Prelims are 10 a.m. and finals 6 p.m. each day. Women's soccer is at Ohio State, 2 p.m. Thursday on the Big Ten Network. Sunday, 3 p.m. at Michigan on the Big Ten Network. Men's tennis at Wisconsin Friday, 3 o'clock. Sunday at Minnesota at noon. Outdoor track and field will host the Big Ten Indiana Invitational number 1 Friday and Saturday. Volleyball is at Illinois Friday and Saturday. Friday's game, 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and then they play at 6 o'clock Saturday. Baseball is at Michigan State for a 3-game series, Friday at 3:05, Saturday and Sunday at 1:05. Softball hosts Michigan Friday through Sunday, Friday at 4 o'clock, doubleheader Saturday at noon and 2, and then Sunday at noon. Women's golf at the Clemson Invitational in South Carolina Friday through Sunday. Women's tennis hosts Rutgers at 11 a.m. Saturday and hosts Maryland at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Water polo is at 4th-ranked Arizona State, 3 p.m. Saturday and noon Sunday. Both games on Pac-12.com. Rowing, Saturday at the Big Ten Ivy League Double Duel in Columbus, Ohio. It will feature Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Harvard, and Yale. Thank you for joining us this evening, and thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports. We'll be right back.
was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.